Just to say that I've got a very nice Bible here that was in fact sent to me by, without charge, by Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and I was very happy to receive it. But it's a translation called the Modern English Version. So, you know, usually I like the King James Version, I like New King James. I like things that are based on the received text, Textus Receptus, as is often known, for various reasons. But I really like going into the Greek and the Hebrew, really. But I don't read Greek and Hebrew fluently, so I rely on dictionaries. And in terms of a translation, I just want to say that this seems like it's a very good translation to me, Modern English Version. So you may want to make a note of that. But I received this, and I was so happy. And by the way, you know, I was so happy that Kenneth Copeland Ministries are on the advisory panel for Donald Trump. And several of the Word of Faith ministers, and I was so happy. I don't think I've shared this with the church, but I'm the director for the ICFM in England, which is the faith network of ministries set up by Kenneth Copeland and other ministers in 1979 to help, Kenneth Hagin was one, to help facilitate the faith movement. And I'm so happy to be involved with that. It's a great privilege to be involved with that. But if you hear anything about Trump in the press in this country, it's all negative. I mean, it's been amazing. His wife, anything. I have AOL, you know, as my server. And every time I open up AOL, well, every single story is negative. Everything on the BBC is negative. It's amazing to me that they could get away with being so negative, so biased, so one-sided, and yet they're meant to be the media. You know, it's meant to talk about fake news. I mean, it's off the charts. Every story is negative. And guess what that's aimed to do? That's aimed to create a negative impression, to get people to think that they're one thing or the other, and most of it is just lies. I'll be honest with you, most of it's lies. I've spoken to people who, ministers and people in America that we have close relations with, they're just so happy with Donald Trump and his presidency. So happy with it. I mean, they're just blessed. The military people. You ask those generals in the military what they think. Oh, they are so happy. Because for once you've got someone speaking truth and going into things with honesty and integrity without a biased approach. This is what they've told me. And they've painted it out as if there's a war against the Mexicans. Well, I know Mexicans. We have dealings with people in Texas. And lovely Mexican people there, and they just think that he's been doing a brilliant job, just a tremendous job. It's the polarized opposite of what we're told in the BBC and the media in this country. But it's the same in America. They're so biased. Now that ought to get us thinking about what's going on in the world, in our world. And it ought to let us know that we are in a society that's being fed through the news media. And not all of it is true. So if I hear things on the news now, I don't take it on board necessarily. I question things. Because very often there's an ulterior motive. But for us this morning, going into this now, this higher truth, the truth of the Word of God, let's read what it says in the book of Romans, chapter 8. And let's read from verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the flesh, who walk not according to the flesh, how is it that we don't walk according to the flesh? We've got to walk according to the Spirit. If you're not walking according to the Spirit, you're going to be walking according to the flesh. How do we walk according to the Spirit? Well, we have a spiritual mindset. How do we have a spiritual mindset? Well, we feed ourselves on spiritual truth. We must be in the Word of God. We've got to be reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, and enjoying what the Word of God is showing to us. We have to be doing that. That's the way you develop a spiritual mindset, a spiritual mentality. Are you listening? That's the only way, friends. And it's simple, it's basic, but it's so vital. We've just got to be allowing ourselves and positioning ourselves to be in a place to receive the Word of God. And whether that means that we are reading it early in the mornings, or as my wife does, very late at night if it's me, very often studying at those hours, or whatever it is that you can work into your day in the schedule, it's vital that you do it on a daily basis. And I promise you this, all sorts of things will try and get in the way of that. You'll have things that you'll think are more important in terms of, well, I've just got to get this important thing, and then I'll go and do it. I've got this work. I've got to do this thing. Listen, all of it is secondary. This is number one, because this is the only way you walk according to the Spirit. And that's the way that there's no condemnation. Because unless you're walking by the Spirit and are being fed by the Word of God in this way, and by the way, if you are listening to preachers, you can listen to preachers and that can feed you as well, but they've got to be the right preachers. I would advise you, honestly, listen to those Word of Faith type preachers, because number one, you won't have silly nonsense being preached. You won't have people begging for money, for example, which so many on the Christian TV seem to do. It's interesting, you know, the Word of Faith people are the ones who do have the wealth very often. I mean, they are the wealthiest of the whole bunch, but they're the ones who will never, ever beg on television for money. You won't hear a Word of Faith preacher ever begging for money on television. They don't do it. You know why? I'll tell you why. They go to God in prayer. And those ministries are established by God, paid for by God in prayer. That's why they'll never beg people for money, ever. And that's why I'm perfectly happy with someone spending $55 million on a jet, as about half a dozen of them have done. They paid cash for them. And people say, wow, how on earth can that, that is just, well, guess what? They have never begged anyone for money, never pleaded for money, but what they've done is, and I know, they've spent time on their own in prayer, and God has led them to prosper and really do well in things in life. I'll tell you one thing. For example, most people don't know this, but Kenneth Copeland, take him for an example, spent time in prayer, being led by the Holy Spirit, had some money given to the ministry, knew that he was meant to buy some land, bought some land that no one else wanted. Guess what he finds underneath the land? Natural gas. And that natural gas has made him a very wealthy man. He supplies, in fact, the whole area around where he lives with their natural gas in Texas. Tremendous. Well, the Lord, I believe, led him to buy the land. He led him on a good journey, on a good route. If you're struggling in your own self to make it happen and go in your own way and trying to force things and you're going to do it and you're going to work and you're going to, by the sweat of your brow, well, you know what? That's not the biblical way. You can go that route if you want, but it's not the biblical way. The blessing of the Lord, it says, maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. That's the blessing of the Lord. But we have to make a choice to live under the blessing, and part of that is denying the flesh, denying our natural selves, and being people of the Word of God. Now, I'm talking reality today. Everyone, please listen, because this is the truth, and this is the way that I've witnessed in my life, and it's a blessing to those who find it. But I find that so often people just love to rant and rave about those Word of Faith ministers because they haven't experienced it in their lives. Well, guess what? They haven't spent that time with God in prayer. They haven't spent the time praying in tongues. They haven't shut the door of their bedrooms and spent day after day and month after month and year after year spending time with the Lord and having the Lord direct their paths. It's just the truth. But when we do that, God will lead us in a good way. You know why? Because he loves you so much. He's got plans for us. God plans for us. But you see, how it works is, God doesn't lead us in those paths unless we are yielded to him. See, it's God on his terms, not on our terms. But I just think God should. No, don't worry what you think. Lean not on your own understanding, but on every word that proceeds from him. That's where we should be leaning. This is where we should be yielded. And this is where we find the resource for our lives. God wants to help us in every area of our lives. He loves you so much. You're so precious to him. But it's got to be his way. You see, this is the key. It can't be our way. And we live in a society that wants God on its own terms. Oh, yes, I'll have God, but I think God should. I want God to. I just believe this, and I just forget that. No. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And the walk of the Spirit is always in accordance with the Word. So the Holy Spirit always leads us in accordance with the Word of God. Are you listening? So this is vital for us to understand. So, a yielded life. Well, now, how does the yielded life work? Well, in the New Testament, there's several books. There's the epistles, and then which are for doctrine. We've got the Gospels, which obviously are the gospel accounts of Jesus Christ. We've got a historical book in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a history. It's important that we understand what we're reading, you know, and can get things in context. And in the book of Acts, we have an account of the early church and what was happening in the early church. One of the things that Jesus promised, now, who do we follow? Are we interested in what he says? Yes. Yes, we are genuinely interested, aren't we? Jesus made a promise. He said, listen, I'm going to the Father, but it's okay. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send who? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So he goes to the Father. He sends the Holy Spirit. Now let's read in the book of Acts what the Holy Spirit has to say. In fact, before we go to the book of Acts, let me just read a portion from the Gospels, which is just looking to what it'll be like for believers when the Holy Spirit comes. Mark 16, it says this. Mark chapter 16, and from verse 17, It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Well, you see, your average church in the United Kingdom today, if you ask them, do you cast out spirits? I said, well, most of them would say, no, well, no, we don't like any of that stuff. We're not interested in that, thanks very much. Do you speak in tongues? Oh, well, we heard there was a bloke down the road who once did, a few years ago, but we're not so keen on that. Well, hold on a sec. Who are we following? Who are we listening to? Who is the Lord of our lives? I mean, who are we baptized into? If we've been baptized into Jesus, this underneath here is a baptistry, just in case you don't know. Underneath here is a baptistry. If we were baptized into Jesus, what we were saying was, I believe you, I'll follow you. I'm being baptized into you, and I'm proving that I believe you through this baptism. That's what that meant. Well, this is what he's saying. These things will happen for those who really believe. And he says this. He says they will speak with new tongues. And in the end of verse 18, he says they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So you should see these things in a healthy church. A real church has these things happening in it. I'm so happy that we have these things happening in our church. Come with me then to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 19 we'll go to first. In Acts 19, I'll read this portion of scripture. It says this, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper courts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, these people were disciples, okay? He said to them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much even heard as to whether there be a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, and to what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John did baptize with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. Can you see that? What's speaking in tongues? Well, before we go into that, let me just read on. As we can see then, it says this there in this portion of Acts. Let me just take you to Acts 1, that we look at Acts 1. I just want to read from Acts 1. It says this, and these are words in red from verse 4. Being assembled with them, he commanded them, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And verse 8 of Acts 1, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon the followers of Jesus Christ. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we've just read it in Acts 19, it was followed by speaking in tongues and prophecy. But let's just have a look at some more verses in Acts quickly. We'll read these verses in Acts 8. Acts 8. Verse 15. Who then had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit? For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Interestingly, this is the account. You remember, I'll just read on to show. And when Simon saw that through the laying hands of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. He offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that I may lay hands and they would receive the Holy Spirit. And of course, the story, we know what happens there. But come with me to Acts 10. Acts 10, it says this in verse 44. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them that heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. My friends, it's right there throughout the New Testament. The speaking in tongues. This is the evidence that was often seen with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, what is it to be baptized? Well, it's like this. Let me show it like this to you, okay? You go, it's a sunny day. You go down to the beach. And you've packed all your things. You've got a picnic with you. And you've got, you know, when I was a boy, we would take the umbrellas with us. And the windshields, you know, and we take the windshields and you sit down on the sand and the sun is beating down, and what happens is you start to perspire a little bit, and after an hour or so you become quite thirsty, and your wife usually, because she remembers to pack things that you otherwise would have perhaps forgotten, or your mum when I was a boy, says, would you like some water? I say, oh yes please, well done for thinking of that, well done. And she gives you the water, and you drink the water, and it doesn't it taste so nice? Can you picture it with me? Mm-hmm. You've not been to the beach? you picture it, it's nice, isn't it? Well, that's receiving the water. Beautiful. It's on the inside. Well, then, what if you were to take a walk down to the sea line and you were to walk into the water and then just dive in the water so that the water is surrounding you and you're engulfed in the water. The water is everywhere and you're splashing around in the water. It's so nice. That's sort of like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit within us the moment we become Christians. We receive the Holy Spirit the moment we become Christians. It explains that in the New Testament clearly. That's the Holy Spirit residing on the inside. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit anointing from outside onto us. Not inside us. We all have that if we believe in Jesus. But the anointing from the outside of us, on us. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is a touch from God. And that causes someone very often then, speaking in tongues, comes straight away. You say, what sort of tongues? Three different types of tongues in the main. We could talk about others, but I'll just mention three quickly to you. Tongues where you speak in a tongue and the tongue is for interpretation. You know, you can't pray a selfish prayer in tongues because you don't know what you're praying. And you pray in tongues and someone then interprets tongues. Now, if you feel a little bit nervous about that, it's okay. I did as well. When I first heard about tongues, I really wasn't sure at all. But then I looked at the Bible. And this is why we have to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means that we walk not according to our thoughts, but according to the Word, according to the Bible. So if you're nervous, go to the Bible. Find out what the Bible says. Amen? Have we been handed out notes on this today? Got some notes here. Let's just have a couple of volunteers to hand these out right now. Don't need to look at them now, but please take them with you because I've got references and notes here for these. I want everyone to have the notes. Take them back home with you. But let me just say this. The second type of tongues is a tongue that edifies yourself. It builds yourself up. You can't really understand what it's doing, but you just know that in your spirit, you're being built up. So sometimes if I go into prayer, you know, I'm not sure exactly what I want to pray with, or what I want to pray about, I should say. So I just go into tongues. Just start praying in tongues. And there's the third type of tongues that I'd like to mention just briefly. It's when you speak in a tongue, as I did. For example, I'll give you an example of it. I went to to speak at a full gospel meeting in Wales one time. Well, I gave my testimony at the meeting and told them all about what was going on, preached from the scriptures. And after I'd shared, they asked me to pray for people. People came to the front. And then I noticed someone who was sitting next to a pillar at the sort of back or midway down this hall. It was in a hotel. And I just felt inclined to walk over to them. So I left where I was. I walked down. And as I'm walking down, I started to speak in tongues. I started to speak in tongues, but to the person. Let me explain. You can't do that in the flesh. You have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit to do that. You can't do that in the flesh. You have to be, you know, under the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit, under His guidance. So I walk down, and the person is there. I'm speaking in tongues to the person. I turn around and I walk back up. And I'm even thinking to myself, I wonder what that was all about. After the meeting, I found out that person was on a visit from Spain, and I delivered a message to them in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. But she had a message delivered to her in Spanish. Isn't that beautiful? I remember one time there was an African brother. He'd come from Africa, and you know what it's like. You leave your home and your family. And he'd gone to the Bible College in London. And he was in the dormitory of the Bible College in London. And he was lonely. You know, bless him, he was just lonely. And he was thinking of his family back home, and he was missing them, and here he is in London, and he's just, oh, you know. And he was praying on the side of his bed, and all of a sudden, he hears someone speaking his language. He hears someone speaking his language right in the room next door. And it was just a miracle. He's just so happy. And he goes out of his room, and he knocks on the door excitedly, and he looks, and the bloke opens the door, and it's a Londoner. He's shocked. He's speaking in tongues. But one encouragement. Now that stayed with him for the rest of his life. How God cared enough for him to speak to him while he was on his knees in that little dormitory room in the Bible College. Isn't that beautiful? How God loves us. And but you see, it's people being yielded to the Holy Spirit. Oh, my friends, we have to yield to the Holy Spirit. We have to yield to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it says, you know, in the New Testament, do not prevent the speaking of tongues. Now, it also says that it prefers prophecy to tongues. So we don't want to get overboard on things, you see. But you don't want to be underboard on things either. Tongues are a real blessing. And also, when you pray in tongues, you build yourself up in your most holy faith. So it builds us up on the inside. It circumnavigates speech. So you don't pray, as I mentioned, you don't pray a selfish prayer in tongues. Now, if you're not sure about it and you think, well, I'm really, you know, it's okay. I wasn't either. But it's in the Bible. Who do we follow? Jesus. What did Jesus say? The believers will speak in new tongues. Now that's Jesus. You know, I've heard these people who are cessationists say, oh, the gifts, and they ceased with the apostles. Well, I don't know where to begin with that crowd. But it's a nonsense. I've read accounts of John Wesley speaking in tongues, you know. There's a book that's been written about the supernatural accounts in John Wesley's ministry. John Wesley, right through church history, go into the early church fathers. If you read about the early church fathers, Tertullian, Origen, you read about these people, you read about tongues as being part of the early church, clearly there in the early church. No question about it. Tongues need to be there in our church for our church to have the ministry of Jesus Christ. As a church, we've been commissioned to have the ministry of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Jesus Christ. And to be the body of Jesus Christ, we must be yielded to the will of Jesus Christ. Amen? So to yield to the will of Jesus Christ, we need to be a body that is prepared to speak in tongues. A body that's prepared for prophecy. A body that's prepared to be used by God in any way that God chooses to use us. And this is the good and exciting news, folks. If God decides to get us to buy the school and the nursing home and anything else, He will provide. There'll be no begging, pleading, or manipulating. God pays for what He calls to take place. Amen? I think we've already established that as a testimony of the journey that we've been on so far. It's born out of prayer and the reality of living with Almighty God. He's real and He loves us. And He's called us for this. Now, if you've not if you're unsure that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want to lay hands on people this morning for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you're not sure, I'd like you to come forward, and I want to lay hands on you for that baptism. Now, it'd be nice to have some music at the end here. Still, would you come and just play some keyboard, please, for me? Thank you. Brothers and sisters, let's just stand, shall we? We'll go into more detail this evening. Please take the papers with you. But if you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning, I invite you to come to the front and let me pray with you. Let's pray a general prayer first. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, the truth in the Holy Scriptures. We ask that, Father God, you would have your way with us. That, Father, your will manifest through us as Living Faith Church. That, Father, Lord, we would be all that you've called us to be and do all that you've called us to do. Father, with that intent, we yield ourselves to you and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for people coming forward for the baptism of the Holy Spirit then right now. If that's you, you just come forward. Yes. You just stay there. Stay there. That's good. Anyone coming forward? Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. There's no time to be shy. You just come forward. You're not being obedient to anyone other than God Almighty. You come forward and His Word. Don't be shy. It's no time for being shy. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Savior. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Glory, glory, glory to God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The fire of God. In Macy. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Your hand of protection on her all her days. Your power manifesting in her and through her all her days. Thank you, Father God, for this precious little one. In Jesus' wonderful name. The baptism now of the Holy Spirit. Elohim Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Thank you. Macy, your life is so precious before God. You're so precious. He looks at you with such love. And you're a wonderful little girl. And he's pleased with you. And he loves you very much. And he's got such wonderful plans for you. And he's going to lead you all your days. You're so precious. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do in this precious, lovely girl's life. Thank you, Father, for her. Hallelujah. Precious, so precious. Anyone else? Come to the front. And thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise his holy name. The baptism. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, Lord, and we thank you for all that you've spoken to us in this meeting. We commit this church to you, Lord, Living Faith Church, all that you've called us to do and be. And Lord, we say this, have your way, Lord. Have your way in and through our lives in Jesus' wonderful name. Praise be to God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.